Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the February 2nd, 2010 Wikibon Peer Insight Research Meeting. It's where peers discuss challenging problems in the data center, and I'm your host and moderator, Dave Vellante, and the topic for today is FCOE, Fact versus Fiction. And we're very excited to have several well-known bloggers and respected technologists and FCOE experts on the call today. Joining us, we have Dave Graham, who is at Dave Graham. He's a technologist and a cloud advocate and the steward of Flickrdown, a blog at flickrdown.com. Dennis Martin is at Demartech with a K. He's a Wikibon contributor and founder of Demartech, a technology test lab in Colorado. Stu Miniman at Stu is a technologist, and he owns blogstu.wordpress.com, in addition to some other blogs. And then Nigel Poulton, at Nigel Poulton, who is the owner and operator of Technical Deep Dive, which can be found at blog.nigelpoulton.com. On the Wikibon homepage, if you go to wikibon.org, you'll see we've put up a graphic. Right under the orange register now, you'll see a little sign that said Professional Alerts. Under the Professional Alerts should be the first one entitled FCOE Adoption Curve. So you might want to check that out. We'll be referring to that a little bit here just to set up this call. And while you're doing that, let's just get the housekeeping out of the way. I'd like to ask that if you're not speaking in the call, please mute your line. If your phone doesn't have a mute button, you can hit star 6 to mute and star 6 to unmute if you wish to participate. Everybody is welcome to participate. You're encouraged to do that. I'll go through the format just very briefly.
Can you quickly repeat the Wikibon site?
Yeah, sure. It's wikibon.org, wikibon.org. And as I say, when you go there, right underneath the orange sign, it says register now, you'll see a little area called Professional Alerts, and the very first one is entitled FCOE Adoption Curve.
Got it, thanks.
You're welcome. And so this call is being recorded. It's going to last 1 hour. If you're on Twitter and you want to tweet this, please use the #Wikibon hashtag. We'd appreciate that so it will feed to our social media outlets. And the way this call is going to work is we'll have an open discussion with the guests for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes or maybe less, maybe more, depending on how it goes. And we'll bat around the issue of FCOE, fact versus fiction, and we'll open it up. Everybody is welcome to participate. And believe it or not, even though this is a very large call, usually works pretty well. Look for an opening. If you don't get one, believe me, I'll give you an opportunity to speak. So with that, what I'd like you to do is just call your attention to that curve that I mentioned. And essentially, it's an S-curve. For those of you who don't know what an S-curve is, it's just a way. Otherwise, it's known as it's also known as an O-God curve. Geeks. And it's a way to express adoption of anything, essentially, technology and the like. And the way it works is essentially, and this is our view based on some other Wikibon activity that we've done, talking to practitioners and the like, it's our view of how FCOE is going to be adopted. And an S-curve classically shows a very slow sort of startup phase and then a big ramp. And the axes are essentially effort and return. And so, you know, ideally, when you're in that steep part of the S-curve is where for the least amount of effort, you're getting the maximum amount of return. So from a customer perspective, what we see going on now is pilots. We're going to talk about that. And then over time, you're going to adopt FCOE along a value chain with different types of products that's going to find its way into from servers to top of rack switches and native switches and so forth. And we're going to have that discussion today. And we're going to talk about what it means to users. We're not going to talk a ton about the benefits of FCOE. You know, generally speaking, we're talking about dramatically reducing your connection costs, and we're talking about cutting heat density in servers and other equipment. And we can talk about the benefits if you want, but generally speaking, many of us, I think, are familiar with those, but if we have users on the call who want to go into that, we're happy to do that. So what I'd like to do now is start off, if we think about this adoption. And we really want to sort of address fact versus fiction. So one of the things that we'd like to talk about is, okay, how, and well, what, first of all, why would somebody want to take on another protocol? We just sort of mentioned a couple reasons. But how can they get started? So we see pilots going on today. Stu Miniman, can you start by talking about how it's starting, where it's starting? You talk to a lot of customers. What are you seeing? How's it going to start, and how will it be adopted over the next 10 years, 4, 5, 10 years?
Sure, Dave. So I love the S-curve, and I think one of the things that you look at in these first couple of years is we need to break down, as you said in the topic, the fact versus fiction. So the first piece that people say is, well, I want to make sure that this is a robust technology, make sure it's not going to, you know, damage my environment. So the first thing most people are looking about is really the standards. And hopefully we don't need to spend too much time on it, because as most people I know that work in standards, and I've been some of them myself, standards are boring. So let's get that out of the way first. The standards for FCOE are mostly done. So if you look real quickly, you've got the fiber channel piece and the Ethernet piece. The first round of FCOE standards for fiber channel are done. They were ratified back in June of 2009. And for the Ethernet side, the enhancements, what's called as data center bridging, are being moved to be voted on. They were moved past committee, I think, in the November 2009 meeting, and should be moving forward probably within the next month or so. So while sure there's some I's to be dotted, some T's to be crossed, and some enhancements to be done in future revisions of the standards, the first piece of, is this an industry standard, and can I feel pretty safe that this is a technology that's going to be around for a while? We should be past that initial kind of, you know, that hurdle. And now we've got all these other hurdles, which is, okay, there's new equipment, there's new things that I need to work into my environment, and where and how does FCOE fit? And the easy piece, as you said, to get started is for somebody to test this out. It's pretty simple. There's some new equipment they've got to buy. They've got to buy these new converged network adapters. They've got to buy new switches. But for the most part, FCOE is just built off of fiber channel. So when you first plug this into your environment, it's going to be managed the same way as fiber channel. It's going to work the same way as fiber channel. But it's just from that server to top of rack switch is where it gets integrated. So for those customers that I've talked to that say, I want to buy a new rack, say, of, you know, the latest and greatest from IBM, or I want to try out the new Cisco servers, and if they have FCOE, they can put that into their existing fiber channel environment pretty easily. So is that the kind of answer where you're looking for, Dave?
Yeah, so, okay, so we essentially are able to, we estimate there's about $25 billion in assets built up in fiber channel, and these are generally in mission-critical applications, and there's probably more if you add in all the processes and procedures. So the key message there is the standards are ratified, you're going to be able to leverage that asset base to get a return on it, and that's sort of what FCOE, you know, promises. So Dennis, what does a customer need to get started today in terms of specific technologies?
Well, as you said, you've got the adapters. So you've got the converged network adapters, and we're also starting to see other 10 gigabit adapters that run FCOE. You need a switch that will handle FCOE traffic, and that's, as again, Stu said, a data center bridging switch that also supports FCOE. And then you need, ideally, a storage target that will handle FCOE natively. However, most of the switches also have fiber channel ports on them. So you can run FCOE to the switch, and then you can run fiber channel out of that switch out to your existing fiber channel
storage.
So Dennis,
can I hop on that for a second?
Yeah, sure. So I'm also getting a little echo. It kind of sounds funny.
So this is Stu again. And I guess one of the things, you know, when I talk to customers is they say, I have my existing fiber channel environment. Here is how I do, you know, my access layer, my aggregation layer, and put all this together. And they say, I want to build a new data center, and I want to run all Ethernet. Can I do that with FCOE? And the question and the answer really is, well, really not yet. I can't build a multi-hop environment yet for FCOE, and therefore, whether or not it makes sense for native FCOE is something that we're debating internal amongst the industry. And there are the enhancements to FCOE that are coming in FCBB6. So where I have customers that are very excited about FCUE and they want to leverage the fiber channel management, but when you say, okay, I want to run hundreds of nodes of FCUE and here's how I build it in fiber channel, can I do the same thing in FCUE? And the answer is no. Really, I can do a rack-based solution, and outside of that rack, I need to plug into my existing fiber channel environment, really. And unless I'm doing a relatively small configuration, I'm not going to do that all FCUE. So that's kind of my take on where we are with, you know, the full FCUE, and obviously open for a discussion there.
Right, and that's the thing. It's we do have the limitation of not having multi-hops, so a lot of it today is rack, and that's what I'm running here in my lab, is a rack-based solution.
Dave, it's Nigel. Can I just jump on as well?
Go ahead.
Please, yeah.
I think with the discussion around standards and rackification and then jumping onto products, one of the things that should help people have that kind of warm, fuzzy feeling is that the products that are shipping around the server and the network edge, and I'm thinking in particular converged network adapters, we're already seeing second generation adapters hit the market. So we're seeing single chip, single code based, products that are more mature than some people would have you believe. That second round, or these second generation CNAs, should, I think, give people a little bit more confidence that, yeah, okay, so the standards are ratified, but products are relatively green. Well, yeah, they are, but they're not as green as some people might make you believe.
Yes, and I'll just echo that. I'm running second-gen cards now in the lab, and they do run very nicely.
Yeah, I mean, we've had products in the lab now for, you know, over a year and a half now, and, right, we're moving forward, and as you can expect, next generation prices are going to keep coming down, and configurations, and it's going to grow into what they can do.
So Dave Graham, I got to go here. So the storage anarchist had a beautiful tweet today. He said Dave Graham's here to share the fiction. So Dave, can you talk about some of the fiction? What do you see out there that's misperception?
Well, there's misperceptions, I think, on both sides, right? There's the, CE or FCOE or whatever you want to call it from inception is going to solve a multitude of sins, right? You know, everything that was bad about fiber channels going away, everything that's bad about Ethernet's going away, and, you know, here you go. And what we have left is the purest form of both worlds. And to a certain extent, I can see where people would kind of latch on to that. I know out in the community, obviously we have our Ethernet folks and we have our fiber, our storage folks, and trying to get those two parties to talk together has been kind of an arduous process. So, so this is not the one ring, the one protocol to rule them all, if you will. So that's kind of a fictional statement. It's a maturation process, definitely based on the S curve, what you see there. But will it eventually have the type of penetration and broad acceptance that it needs? Absolutely. It's just not there right now. Conversely, I think on the negative end of things, I think it still goes back to the negativism from each of these isolated categories. You've never had to have a networking guy sit in the storage space and vice versa, right? You've always, it's clean to keep both in each of the categories. And now with this thing that's coming in there, the fear and trepidation of now having to learn the opposing protocol, as it were, led to, Ethernet was a terrible standard to begin with. That's the reason why fiber channel was introduced in the storage fabric. It'll point to any number of benchmarks that show fiber channel leading any kind of storage protocol wars based on low latency and packet management, as it were. So I think those are kind of the two camps, if you will, that look at the fictional aspects of FCUE. Does that help?
Yes, it does. And it's interesting you bring up the organizational discussion, and I'd like to probe on that a little bit. I mean, I've had practitioners say to me, I am a fiber channel bigot, and there's no way I'm putting my mission critical applications anywhere else. And I've had others say, hey, I'm going to push iSCSI as hard as I can. It's cheaper, and that's the direction that I'm going. And I guess my feeling is they're both right. But the interesting thing about what you just said was that the storage guys and the networking guys are now coming together. And we've had other discussions on Wikibon around, well, who's going to be in charge? The networking guys are pulling wires and cables and redoing infrastructure all the time, and the storage guys set the sand and say, all right, nobody touch my sand or you're dead. So how do you guys see that playing out? Anybody in the panel?
I'll actually step in and answer at least part of that. I'm, you know, as a solutions engineer or systems engineer, whatever you call it, and having to deal with this stuff, you know, I get excited when hardware starts showing up in my lab and all of a sudden I have to start researching. I'm not an Ethernet guy by any stretch of the imagination. So for me, it's a challenge. I mean, I accept the challenge for what it is. You know, it's good to kind of refine that area that I know is missing in kind of my professional expertise. So if, from my perspective, I look at, you know, going into the IP world as kind of the, you know, gauntlet's been thrown for me to learn, and it's been thrown to even make me a more, you know, more better, make me a more powerful force within the data center for the solutions engineering work that I do here at EMC. So, I mean, for me, it's exciting to be able to, albeit somewhat forced, but to get in there and learn something that I just really haven't had to care about before.
I think as well, you know, to steal Emulex's phrase, new game, new rules. If you're not going to be adaptive and you work in IT, then I think you're in the wrong business.
So just one more thing on the political aspect, Dave. So, you know, I think it really is going to vary greatly by what company we're talking about here. When you talk to kind of the mid-range or the smaller companies, a lot of them it's the same guy that does the storage, that does the networking, that does the server. And for a lot of those companies, you know, iSCSI might be the better fit for them, and they might be using it. For the really big companies that have Fibre Channel, I think a lot of them really understand that it's about time that they look at a converged network, and FCOE is going to be the easiest path because it can be a slow or fast migration depending on what their needs are. They don't have to throw everything out. They don't have to just, you know, kill their organization structure, but they can slowly bring some pieces in, decide whether it's the network guy or the storage guy, or do some cross-training or pull them together, and it really gives them some flexibility as to how they're going to do it. Because at the end of the day, the problem that we have that we're really trying to solve in the converged network is, rather than having a separate network and having to decide for every application whether or not you have storage, we want to be able to have the flexible configuration where I can move my applications around, whether it's local, whether it's in the cloud, and have that single connection that I can use, you know, anywhere.
So yeah, I'd like to just add on to that. Yeah, I look at it as an opportunity. If you're a networking guy, hey, there's some this funny storage stuff. There's an opportunity to learn something, as Dave said. And the other way around, if you're a storage guy, the networking thing. And over the long term, you know, you'll have to think about, you know, every time I put a rack together, I got to put an Ethernet switch and a Fibre Channel switch in there. Maybe you don't need two of everything, two different things. Maybe you can get it together with one and converge on one thing. And it's going to be a long process. This is not an instant, you know, rip out everything and bring in this new stuff. But over time, you can start to plan. And I think, so I look at it as an opportunity.
Yeah, I sure hope you're right because, you know, in talking to the storage guys over the years, they say that the networking guys think that QoS is a four-letter word. So
yeah,
you know, to have a configuration that is going to make sure that my mission-critical information doesn't drop, we need to follow these new enhancements on Ethernet and really be careful. And I think, as Dave said, you know, my SAN, once I put it together, don't touch it. Don't breathe on it. Don't move anything, and that's not the way things are done in the land today.
So, Stu, I think this is a really important point. You started with the small versus large, and I think what you said to the small guys, hey, you're probably fine with iSCSI. Go see how far you can push that. And in larger organizations, you have both, you know, camps. And I think you guys have talked about you're essentially going to have this potential culture clash where the storage guys maybe report to different people than the networking guys. They're incented on not losing data, whereas the networking folks are incented on, you know, making stuff as flexible as possible. So I think what I'm hearing is essentially the storage guys should maintain that role, even though, who knows, they might end up working for the networking guys. But the networking guys better make sure that the storage folks are chartered with making sure there is no data loss. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah, I think you're seeing some of that flexibility now. You know, I was just going over some briefs this morning from a couple of well-known manufacturers in the space. And, you know, I'm looking at some of the documentation that's being put together showing the flexibility of going from VLANs to vSAN, so on and so forth. And, you know, it's kind of creating that dynamic or expandable infrastructure that is promised as part of this, you know, this FCOE vision. So, whoever works for whomever, it's really not a big deal in my opinion. It's just more of you know, meeting in the middle, saying, "Hey, I want to take the flexibility of what I know you guys can do, and take the, you know, the kind of qualitative or quantitative capabilities of, you know, my block protocols, and mix them together and go from there."
Okay, so we've got this big happy family. Everybody's working together. That's cool. I can buy that. But can you guys talk about any other dependencies that users should be thinking about that might cascade through this converged network? Is that a fact or a fiction?
One of the things that you have to think about is once you start converging, you can't just take stuff down maybe as frequently. I mean, you've got to coordinate your schedules and that sort of thing. So that's going to be a little extra, require some extra planning.
Of course, the silver bullet there is virtualization.
Already,
right? Come on, we virtualize it all. If you need to take something down, you move it to a different place. You move things around. There is no more downtime.
Hey, can I ask if you're not speaking to please mute your line? Got some background noise there. Thank you.
Dave, I think as well, one of the important things is, although we're going to move our storage onto the LAN, so to speak, if you look traditionally how a SAN, a storage area network, has been designed compared to a LAN, the SAN has always been small, flat, and simple. And I think those principles should be carried forward when we start to deploy storage on Ethernet networks as well. We shouldn't look at the networking guys' network topology diagrams and be put off and think, wow, look at how complicated they look. We're going to have to start designing our SANs like that. I don't think that's the case. And one thing that I think is important, and that would give me that fuzzy feeling again, is that when we start deploying our storage on it, we keep the SAN design. We still keep it small, flat, and simple.
I agree.
Hey, David?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is John Blackman.
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm doing well. So,
give us your practitioner's perspective. Can't wait to hear it.
Well, okay, so my perspective about FCOE is it's really a marketing pipe dream at the moment. I think it's kind of, shall I say, the wannabe of technologies. But thinking about a converged network, the challenges of a converged network have actually existed within the industry for several years. The promise of a converged network was not Ethernet, nor was it fiber channel over Ethernet. It actually came out before that. And the issues that we're discussing about the networking people not understanding storage, the storage people not understanding networking, actually extended into a totally different topology that actually scaled significantly different than what we're talking about. So if I were to, and since we're talking FCOE is building a green field environment, my thought would be more around why do it at all? Because if I were to think of a different technology and nobody wants to speak of it because, you know, it's just kind of like saying the B word out there. My question to the panel is what other technology do you think can offer me a converged network today without the interdependencies that I have with regards to vendor lock-in?
So let me just make sure I understand this, John. You're saying that essentially FCOE's a lot of marketing hype. Are you suggesting that you want to get rid of your fiber channel network, or are you suggesting?
It sounded like you wanted to get rid of his Ethernet network.
Yeah, right.
So,
the
concern around vendor lock-in. I mean, one of the things I've really liked about FCOE is it does have a nice broad ecosystem.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got, you know, most of the server vendors are on board, the operating system vendors. We're going to, you know, expand the options for the adapters that you have there. And if you look at options like InfiniBand, it's really a very small ecosystem there. And, you know, I don't think anybody thinks we're going to get rid of Ethernet. So,
Hold on one second, guys. So, John, just to clarify, you're saying you want to find another technology. You want to keep your fiber channel network, or do you want to get rid of that fiber channel network? Do you want to toss Ethernet? Can you Can you add some color?
So I'm trying to go with is, regardless of whether I go Ethernet or fiber channel or InfiniBand or whatever, right? You know, there is a lot of marketing hype around how we have to do it, and everybody has their own. I wouldn't say opinion; I'd call it personal agenda. But with regards to what would I want to get rid of, what don't I want to get rid of? What I really want to get rid of is the silo effect that we in IT have around what we want to do and what we believe we should be doing, as opposed to what level of service should we be providing for our organization, and how to do that in the most effective and cost-efficient manner, separate from the technology.
Okay, but we are in some regards having a technology discussion here in terms of...
I understand.
Okay.
But we're also talking about what can I do today versus what can I do 5 years down the road from now.
So, I mean, essentially, let's talk about the choices here. Let's put it up to the panel. You've got stick with fiber channel, avoid fiber channel and stay with iSCSI, go with a combination of the two, or start thinking about some kind of converged network. Did I miss any?
Dave, I think you missed one. I think something that I see quite a lot, and I believe Dennis talked about it on Search Storage just recently, I've written about it a lot, is the I/O virtualization approach, where you can either plumb your rack with PCIe or InfiniBand or something like that, decouple your I/O adapters from the servers. So we're talking about converged network adapters. And I think people naturally think, well, we'll put them where our HBAs and our NICs have traditionally been, in the server. But I think there's going to be a move away from that design and that architecture to having those NICs, HBAs, and hopefully eventually converged network adapters in actually physically in a top-of-rack switch, something like Seagull or Vitensis or Next.io. And then once you've got your... once you've got your CNAs up there, then you can branch out to FCOE or to whatever other networks. I think that's maybe an option that you missed there.
It's still an FCOE option, is it not?
I think it is, yeah, but what it maybe gives you an opportunity to do is to start deploying those type of solutions in the rack, while in the background the standards are maturing around DCB and around FCOE. And then as they do mature, people will be more comfortable with deploying them in the core of the network.
I guess my point is this, if I understand it correctly, you're either going to, as a practitioner, John and other users on the call, you're either going to have to adopt a new protocol, FCOE, or you're going to have to keep doing what you're doing and deal with heat density and cabling and everything else and eventually potentially higher costs, or you're going to have to make a bet on an alternative protocol like iSCSI, and then the industry is going to have to rally around that, which it's clearly not doing now. It's putting all this emphasis on FC. How do you guys see that playing out?
So Dave, I guess my take on this is sure, we can have the protocol wars. FCOE is really just an extension of fiber channel. The question is, if you have fiber channel today and you're comfortable with fiber channel, do you want to look at something like a converged environment? Because having the separate adapters and the separate networks is something that a lot of people want to move away from the customer side and from the supplier side. If you look at what's coming in the next generation of servers, I can't have multiple networks. So maybe there's some options with the I/O virtualization, but FCOE really is something we've been working on for a few years now, and it allows me to take fiber channel out of the server so that I go to that single network. And there's a lot of promise there, because keeping it separate, if you say, where do I want to be 5 years from now, do I still want to have my SAN and my LAN? And I think most people agree we don't want to be there anymore.
So Stu, I agree with you, but the thing that statement does not address for the practitioner on this call is, how do I get from where I am today to where I want to be in 5 years? And that means you have to increase your cost, adopt another protocol, i.e. FCOE, despite the fact that it allows me to leverage my install base. So I want you to address that.
So I would say that FCOE really isn't a new protocol. It's fiber channel. My applications think it's fiber channel. My storage thinks it's fiber channel. Whether it's a fiber channel interface or an SVE interface, it's still fiber channel. So there's very little change in how I deploy things if I put in FCOE. So it's a very minor change in what you have some new equipment you have to buy, yes, but what I'm actually deploying is not very different.
But at the same time, this is John again speaking. Since it is still fiber channel, I only have one vendor out there doing it, and that's not my fiber channel vendor. And the problems that we're going to, as a practitioner, that we run into is this little thing called interoperability. And today, interoperability does not exist between vendors in a fiber channel space, and I doubt will exist in a fiber channel over Ethernet space. They call that product differentiation.
And I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, this is Dennis. I've run a number of different things together from different vendors with FCOE. Have I tested every possible permutation? No. There's still the traditional, once you go with one guy maybe for your switch, then you're kind of locked in there. But there are multiple vendors doing switches. There are multiple vendors doing adapters, and you got all your storage vendors. So it's not a hopeless situation, I guess that's what
I'm saying. So I think what I'm hearing is that the vendors understand this challenge, and this notion of FCOE and the FCOE standard is probably the best we can expect from a fiber channel standpoint because it's the least disruptive. But I still want you to address the question. In the near term, let's say the next 1 to 2 years, do my costs go up by bringing in FCOE? And I think the answer is yes, but ultimately the payback is going to be a no-brainer. Is that a fair statement?
This is Dave. So your initial capital expenditures for this stuff is absolutely going to go up. I mean, from the FCOE, depending if you do optical, TwinX, 10G base T, I mean, you do the math from any of the vendors that, we could mention on the line. You look at specialized cabling, again, TwinX, SFP Plus, OM3 fiber, all that kind of stuff, and the new switch acquisitions, CNAs are still pretty pricey. Again, with the commoditization of Generation 2 CNAs from the big three that are out right now, obviously that's reduced the initial cost from Gen 1 stuff, and Gen 3 is coming, as it were. So all this stuff, as you go up, again, going back to your reference image of the curve, as that starts to commoditize a lot more, then your buy-in costs are going to be less. But right now, it's still a pretty expensive thing to implement from any type of, for anyone, whether it be enterprise or SMB. So
this is the dissonance that I hear from the user community and the vendor community. The buyers say, I just don't want to deal with these increased costs and this added complexity. The reality is that ultimately it's going to have your connection costs. And when you hit that point in the S-curve, it's going to become a situation where if you're not on it, your costs are going to be less competitive. So we're always concerned about pushing that adoption out too far. And so can you guys confirm that, deny that, or is there anybody else in the call that wants to weigh in on this topic?
If you look at on your adoption curve, as you start to look at solutions that just have FCOE baked into them, like what Cisco has with the UCS, like what IBM and HP are building into their products, and then I don't see the individual cost of an adapter so much. It's going to make things a lot easier. Customers are moving to 10 gigabit Ethernet. I don't think anybody's going to deny that. And if I can just have that single connection and it has built into it, FCOE is one of my options. I can do FCOE. I can do iSCSI. I can do NAS. Mm-hmm. And it just gives me flexibility. And what I think I said at the top was if I'm running especially virtualized environments, I just want to be able to get to my storage no matter which server I'm on and not have to worry about that I have a special connection just for this application.
And if people are expecting prices to come down one gig Ethernet did in the past, I don't think, there's the potential that they may never come down like it has historically for Ethernet, because I doubt very much you're going to see 10 gig Ethernet adapters, especially DCB capable adapters, in PCs and laptops where there's huge volume And if that never happens, then prices are never going to come down like they traditionally have with Ethernet, Nick.
Right, but you've got the software solutions coming out from people like Intel. You're going to have 10 gig LOMs that are going to support the data center bridging extensions. So the prices will come down, and as the cabling gets better when you have 10G base T, you know, this is going to be, you know, more attractive, and as it really becomes more of a standard option.
Yeah, one of the things to think about is right now, if you're adopting 10 gig Ethernet and you've got fiber channel, let's say 4 gig or even 8 gig, you got to run two sets of cables everywhere. Just the cable cost alone, if you could get everything to run on the same cable, in some data centers, that's a big savings right there. Now, you're not going to hit that today, but you will hit that over the long term as you plan out.
So I have John MacArthur here in the office at Wikibon with me. John has a question.
Yeah, I just remember back from my days at City Street Bank, anytime we had to pull cable, and especially if we had to pull cable between locations, if we ended up having to have electricians involved in pulling a cable, it was an enormous amount of cost that a lot of people inside the data center might not be thinking about. And I'm just curious, what are the implications here for this? Do we have new cabling requirements? And if we have to go between buildings, what's the real cost of pulling new cables and how does that sort of factor in the overall expenditure?
So if I can hop on that, in the first step, it's really only your rack that's going to change. So cabling in the rack is pretty much interchangeable. At the top of the rack, you're going to split out your existing SAN and your existing LAN so you can plug into your existing cable plant. In the future, you know, I've talked to some customers that said, you know, I've run fiber channel before, I'm all optical. When I go to 10 gig and I converge it, I can just go all optical, in which case, you know, they've got it there, or maybe they need to do some new pieces. And I've talked to other customers that said until 10G base T is there, the economics just don't make sense. So it's going to change over time. We're very early on the price curve here, and, you know, there's going to be options as we move forward.
So Stu, can you, just for those who may not be as familiar with this, can you take us through? So I'm a shop, I'm a fiber channel shop, I have no FCOE. Start us as to how the progression is going to go. You're going to start with the server. You've got, let's say, today you've got two adapters, one going to your LAN, one going to your SAN, right?
So, okay. So if you take anybody, all the vendors that have their basic pitch on FCOE is a traditional server that is fiber channel, has a pair of fiber channel adapters and then has some N number of NICs, and that might be 6 or 8 depending on, you know, how many you've got here. And, you know, Nigel, Dave, please chime in if I'm misstating anything there. When I go to FCOE, what I'm going to do is I'm going to replace all those existing adapters probably with a pair of 10 gigabit Ethernet converged network adapters. Coming out of that, today my two options are either to go optical or TwinX. TwinX is limited to about 5 meters, maybe a little more depending on which vendor you go with, and I'm plugging from the adapter into my converged network switch, typically at the top of the rack, maybe 1 or 2 racks over, and from there I come out to my existing LAN or SAN.
Stu, can you just clarify, I think, when you say you'll replace those cables and you'll replace those adapters,
Yeah. We're
not necessarily suggesting we expect people to be going and ripping, replacing existing installations, are you?
Right.
We're saying with new server deployment.
Right. So right. You're exactly right. So when I'm going to buy that new rack, do I buy, you know, my existing, you know, rack of servers with, you know, 1 gig NICs? Some of those will be on the motherboard and my fiber channel adapters, or do I buy, you know, some of the newer ones that have 10 gigabit Ethernet connections? You know, there's so many details you can go into as to, you know, the bus speed on the servers is catching up so that I can now do more than, you know, 4 gig or even 8 gig worth of connection on a bus. The adapter, the cabling is going to change over time. 10G base T is available for some 10 gigabit Ethernet today, but not yet on the FCOE solutions. And the switches, today there's only a handful of switches on the marketplace from people like Cisco and Brocade. There's more options coming for director class products and other pieces that'll support FCOE. So, go ahead.
I've got a follow-up on that question. So right now, from a physical point of view, it sounds like you know, you're working with a server and put a new top of rack switch.
Yes.
And taking out the NIC and the HBA, putting in the CNA. So you're not really touching the server or the storage rack at this point. You're really interfacing between the FCOE running from the LAN to the top of the server.
Right, and as you look, as probably this year you'll start to see those configurations grow. So that's what's being enhanced in both the standard and the product roadmap. And as we go forward, we're going to have greater flexibility, and you'll start to see FCUE moving just beyond that single rack configuration.
I'm sorry, Nigel. The person who asked that question, what's your first name?
You see that I sent you?
I'm sorry, the person who asked that question, what's your first name?
Jeff.
Jeff, thank you. Go ahead, Nigel, I'm sorry.
I think, Stu, it was you that was talking at the beginning about some limitations and talking about multi-hop. I think as well it's maybe worth pointing out at the moment, while we're talking about racks and not touching the storage rack, that another limitation we see at the moment is no VN port to VN port, so no point-to-point connections yet either.
Right. You must have a switch. So unlike what you can do with iSCSI or, you know, FCAL on fiber channel.
I believe, though, that the guys at the standards bodies have been talking about, you know, adding point-to-point connections and multi-hop going forward.
Yeah, be careful what you call it, but, having, either two servers or a server talking to a storage without the need for a switch right in between there is one of the items that are on FCDV6.
So there's still somebody in a conference room that we can hear. If you could mute your phone, we'd appreciate it.
To the right.
So despite the...
I can't see anything.
Whoever just said, this tree, I can't see anything, please mute your phone. We'd appreciate it. So despite the hype that John Blackman was bringing up, I don't see a better alternative for those practitioners looking to get the reliability and end-to-end, point-to-point connection capability of fiber channel, of the quality of service, I should say. I don't see an alternative. Is there one out there? And they open it up a little bit to people and see if there's other comments on this call. We got about 15 minutes.
Dave, it's Nigel. Real quick, I don't want to flog a dead horse here, but we're talking about dropping that converged network adapter silicon or the adapter right on top of where the HBA and the NIC used to be. I wonder whether we're trying to build on old designs and old architectures there, whereas I do think a better option from a flexibility point of view going forward is to actually take it out of the server, scrap those old designs where your I/O adapter is physically in your server chassis, take it out, put it in the top of rack director, and then run FCOE from there. I'll leave it at that. I just think from a practitioner's point of view and from an architect's point of view, we should be thinking, maybe we don't just put this fancy new CNA where you might naturally expect it to go in the server. Maybe it's time to start thinking about new architectures.
And this is Dave. And for argument's sake, to kind of go along, again, playing the devil's advocate here a little bit as well, we're seeing the emergence of, folks like Zygo and, even Qlogic's, 9000 series IB to storage stuff coming out in the market, having some decent uptake, right? Obviously, VM World this past year was a pretty exciting set of demos around Zygo's capabilities of going IB to multi-protocol, right? So in essence, kind of bringing some of the blended capabilities that have been missing up until this point or have been run in discrete, entities, as it were, And so, that's exciting. It's certainly fun to watch. As a pseudo end user, since I have to implement all this stuff in the end, I'm watching with a degree of caution. I want to make sure that the choices I'm making obviously are going to fall in line with the company I represent, but also, what else are people using? And I do see a lot of excitement around some of these smaller companies that are doing some pretty exciting stuff out of the box, if you will.
And it plays well with FCOE, so you can run from your top of rack director where you've got your CNA now. You can run to either Brocade or Cisco. They've both got blade offerings for, Brocade for the DCX and Cisco for the Nexus 5000, I believe.
Okay, let's open it up a little bit. Any of the folks on the call that might have questions for the panel or want to weigh in with their own thoughts? Anybody? I just want to give you guys a chance to chime in.
Yeah, Dave, Howard Marks.
Oh, Howard.
I just can't let that there's a huge ecosystem commentary go by, because there's a switch duopoly, and DCB Ethernet switches and fiber channel over Ethernet switches, even with BB6, are different. And so the price per port on FCOE switches is going to be controlled by Cisco and Brocade just like the price per port on fiber channels, which is controlled by Cisco and Brocade.
And Howard, do you see that very different from Ethernet?
Yes. Yes, I see that that even though Cisco's got that huge market share, that Procurve and Foundry and the other guys being there has substantial, makes a substantial difference. And if I'm at all cost sensitive, I can buy Procurve for 35% less than Cisco.
Okay.
So what happens then when people start deploying BCB-based switches and you've got the priority flow control that can then be extended to iSCSI, theoretically enhancing the performance of iSCSI, you may even be able to do it over UDP.
I think that's all that you're right there, but that FCOE is fiber channel managed like fiber channel, and so if you're a company that's invested in SAN screen or any of these other big SAN management tools, those guys don't support iSCSI.
Sure, but isn't the fact that iSCSI can leverage the benefits of BCB therefore going to squeeze people like Brocade and Cisco on port licensing prices, for instance, for FCOE ports? Because if they're suddenly really, really expensive compared to iSCSI, which can leverage DCB enhancements. If there's that, difference in price, then people are going to start deploying iSCSI, right? So it's going to squeeze the fiber channel guys on price.
But it never has.
And but I think DCB,
Nigel, I think the problem is that the people who have fiber channel have already decided they don't like iSCSI. And so we're now separating the SME market from the enterprise market. And in that enterprise market where they like fiber channel and iSCSI is evil, there's the price competition.
And I think also that there's, as I said earlier, $25 billion in assets. And we always forget about the installed assets that the practitioner has to deal with. Not always, but
yeah, no, and FCOE is a good use Ethernet as your transport and maintain your investment
exactly.
technology.
By the way, this is John Blackman. So I'd like to echo some of your comment there, clarify just a little bit. As a practitioner, it's not that we don't like iSCSI. It's that iSCSI doesn't necessarily fit within the confines or the parameters of our networking group. So I don't disagree that iSCSI could potentially save my company money, but the problem is that my networking group has a design that is so heavily oversubscribed that I either have to go out and build a new greenfield environment dedicated to iSCSI, go out and build a new dedicated environment dedicated to fiber channel over Ethernet, or continue on a fiber channel perspective. Now, I would say that the fiber channel vendors know this, love it, that we're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard spot on the storage side, exploit it, and therefore have yet to really drop the pricing a fiber channel to be competitive with something like iSCSI. And that fiber channel over Ethernet is going to be a very expensive proposition because they're not going to want to adopt it directly into their disk arrays because the money for fiber channel ports itself is huge profits.
Well, and you're right, and they don't have to drop the price because they know that if you want to deliver your quality of service that you've promised your end users, and we're talking to a guy here who does a lot of chargebacks, then you got to go fiber channel. And the ROI of this is going to come from, downstream savings in other areas. It's not going to come, at least near term, from price per port declines unless somehow magically we see more competition in the FC switch game. Other points that people want to make. Again,
this is Eugene Hakopians from Caltech.
Hi, Eugene. How are you? Good to
not bad. How are you? I've been listening to all of this, and it's very interesting, the conversation points. And I agree with the last two comments heavily, because one of the things that we do in our environment, people try to go outside the box, think that it's a new technology. We want to go with iSCSI or SAS connected storage. We don't want fiber because it's too expensive. But we have an actual case in-house today that because of those directions and because of those solutions that they have chose, SAS and iSCSI in particular, they are really oversubscribing the network. Now they are forced to, because now they've spent the money on the storage side and the connectivity side. Now they're forced to buy actually a larger switch from a 3750i Cisco to a 5000 series just because they don't have the bandwidth in the switches to actually do deliver the quality. And we have servers drop left and right, and for example in our situation, which I designed the fiber channel and with the brick kind of a technology, very dumbed down, simple, no major SAN, everything is a local SAN. That architecture has worked for us, at least, which we have roughly nowadays, we have about 3 petabytes of storage in-house, and we are trying to manage that. That fiber channel has been very essential. So it really depends. All of these points that is being made, it really depends what level of service you want to provide, and also in what spectrum, what type of business you're in. If you're in a very small storage realm of 100 terabyte, maybe because of your network not being too oversubscribed, you can actually utilize these things, and they're very good. But on the other hand, if you're on the higher spectrum of having 3 petabyte of storage, then, you know, honestly, I don't think the solutions would work. So my caution would be to the people who are pushing the ideas. Really, I mean, I understand the marketing, I understand the hype, but pointing the actual, you know, targeting a market rather than saying, oh, iSCSI is great. Targeting a market, targeting and understanding really what your end user need, and push that idea onto them if it fits their environment, that's a perfect solution. And on the other hand, to the end user, hearing these hypes does not necessarily mean that it's going to save you money. Most often than not, it bites you, then that's after you spend the money, which is the case in our in one of our departments here, that now they're scrambling, trying to glue this thing together with bubblegum.
Yeah, but you're saying in your case, the potentially somewhat higher cost of fiber channel, or this higher cost of fiber channel, are offset by the value that you've provided through that brick-like process. For those of you who don't know, Caltech uses this this building block system that is now very easy to deploy, so you've reduced your management cost and you have very consistent quality of service, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, okay, good. Other comments, questions or comments that people want to make? Please feel free at this point.
Hey, Dave, this is Dennis. Just want to make a quick comment. There are, in addition to the vendors that we know about, there are other vendors looking at this space, and in some cases specifically because of the price concerns that people have. So, you know, there's more coming.
Hi, this is David Sawyer. I just want to make a comment on one of the really important drivers, which is the real estate on the server, rack server side, in terms of just the number of servers, how those are going to be cabled, the heat from those servers, the heat density. That's a major driving force to simplify connections to servers. And when you look at technologies being put out by the server vendors, it's going to, in my opinion, mandate a lot of simplification in this area, especially between the servers and the top of rack.
Okay, good. Got it, David. Thank you very much. Heat density, big problem, and something that oftentimes we storage guys overlook. Let's go. We got 5 minutes. Any other comments?
Yeah, I have a question about when an end user starts going into this, going up that S-curve, and they start making decisions to go from one vendor to another, how proprietary are any of those decisions?
So can I just have your first name?
This is Jeff.
Oh, Jeff again. So thank you. So how proprietary are those decisions?
Are you starting to lock yourself in when you go in one direction, or you still got some flexibility?
This is Dennis. Let me take a quick stab at that. I'm running multiple vendors' products in my lab using FCOE, and I've been able to interchange things fairly easily. So
So Dennis, this is Stuart. I guess, you know, I forget who it was that made the comment that we have probably a similar situation to what we have for Fibre Channel, which is what we've really tried to make sure as an industry that whichever adapter you choose, it should work with whichever switch you use.
Yeah.
So, you know, 10 years ago when I started with EMC, I managed the host bus adapters, and we had weekly calls because every time you changed an adapter, it broke the switches, and we've tried not to repeat that for FCOE.
And I would just echo that that seems to be working.
So
yeah.
I'm glad to hear, and that goes back to what I said, that this is FCOE isn't really new drivers. It's the same drivers, but as I think somebody pointed out, unless, you know, we do have the option when I'm going FCOE to Fibre Channel that I can do NPIV, and if I do that, I can take one vendor's FCOE switch and plug it into somebody else's Fibre Channel switch, but plugging one FCOE switch from one vendor into another FCOE switch from another vendor, we're not there, and that's usually been the tough thing. So when you talk about vendor lock-in, when you choose a switch, there is, you know, people have concern around that.
Yeah.
Well, and along that line, this is John again, the network has primarily been a Cisco environment, and I think it's really on Cisco and Brocade to sit down, put aside their differences and marketing strategies, and actually provide a true standard that is truly interoperable between them. If not, I don't see Fibre Channel over Ethernet ever providing me the benefit that they actually want. I'll probably be forced to do it down the road, but I'm going to go kicking and screaming, and I ain't going to be happy about doing it.
So John, I'll go back in history a little bit. At EMC, we spent a lot of time twisting arms between some of the Fibre Channel vendors, and especially around things like tape support, where we would get interoperability between one switch and another, and usually we didn't see a lot of uptake. We heard from customers a lot that they wanted it, and when we got a configuration working, we didn't see a lot of deployment. And part of it, I understand, is that, you know, we couldn't always keep the new revs up to date, but it's a real tough battle, and I wonder if we have proper expectations there for FCOE.
Okay. We're coming to the end of the call. I want to make sure that everybody has a chance to participate. That's definitely the goal here. Any other questions, comments?
I was going to ask if there's a replay.
Yeah, so if there are no other questions, we can wrap. Yes, there is, and I'll go over that. So just, again, want to make sure everybody had an opportunity to...
One last quick question on that S-curve. Are we at between year 0 and 1, and the breakthrough would be about, as shown there, breakthrough would be about 2012? Is that correct?
That's about right, you know, the end of 2011, 2012. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
And the breakthrough being the point at which you essentially get an instantaneous ROI because your costs are going to be cut substantially.
So I'd say, you know, in 2010 we expect to have server CNAs and top of rack, you know, pretty well deployed. So,
yeah,
so
I'm
maybe
thinking,
we're past year one.
Yeah, I'm thinking 2011 will be a good year for this.
Okay.
Any other thoughts on that?
Can I just agree?
All right, great. Excellent. Well, really appreciate the call today. On behalf of the Wikibon community, I really want to thank Dave Graham and Dennis Martin, Stu Miniman, and Nigel Poulton. I'd also like to thank the other folks that contributed on the call today. John Blackman, great to hear from you. John MacArthur, thanks for coming in. Jeff, whoever you are, great questions, thank you. Howard Marks, a pleasure to have you on. Eugene Hakopians from Caltech, who participated in some earlier peer insights, thank you for your comments, and David Floyer. Let's see, so now, just want to remind you that over the next 24 hours, we will have research notes about this call up on the site. So check back to Wikibon for that, and then we'll blast those out to our community. And then we will also put up a replay of this call, and we'll have a long version if you want to sit through the whole hour, and we'll do a mashup that's shorter. So thanks very much, everybody. Look for those pieces. Feel free to hit the edit key and make the pieces better or put up a wiki tip. That's all for now. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.